is he in yonder stall? Okay, sang about him. So this is what we're concentrating at this time. Who is Jesus? And in this series, we're focusing on several characters in the Christmas story who spoke directly to Mary concerning the identity of the child that she bore. So that sets the parameters for this series. We're looking at characters in the Christmas story who spoke directly to Mary concerning the identity of the child that she bore. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and speaks unto her and told her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So if you ask the question, who is Jesus, the first answer that we're given is he's the Son of God. Now that announcement came from heaven by Gabriel, and in the story that follows, that announcement from heaven by Gabriel was confirmed on earth by various people to whom God revealed truth concerning the identity of Jesus. Gospel of Luke tells us about four people who were moved by God to confirm to Mary the unique identity of the child that she bore. First, there was Elizabeth, and we looked at her last week. She spoke to Mary directly, and she affirmed that the child that she was carrying is the Lord. He is my Lord. Next Sunday, God willing, we'll look at Simeon, who confirmed that Jesus is the Christ. God willing, on Christmas Day, we'll look at Anna, who affirmed that Jesus is the Redeemer. But today we're considering the shepherds, who affirm that Jesus is the Saviour. Today we're going to consider the testimony of these shepherds. If you look down at verse 16, "And they," that is the shepherds, "came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." So here's the contribution of the shepherds. They made known abroad the saying which was told them by the angel concerning this child. And there's no doubt that they made known abroad the saying to many people. And I say that for two reasons. Number one, the expression there, "made known abroad," indicates a wide area of proclamation rather than just a limited one. Verse 18 goes on to say, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd." The expression there, "all they that heard it," again indicates a large amount of people, many people, rather than just a few. Now for the shepherds keeping watch over their sheep in rural Bethlehem, the normal practice for them would have been to sell their sheep for meat or for wool or for sacrifices in Jerusalem. The temple was there in Jerusalem, which is very near to the shepherd's fields in Bethlehem. And the shepherd's regular business would have taken them into Jerusalem on a regular basis. Therefore, it's very reasonable for us to think of the shepherds telling this news of what they heard throughout Jerusalem as they went there. It's very reasonable for us to think in those terms. But it is very, very clear to us from the verses of Scripture here that the first people to whom they made known abroad the saying that was told them, the first people to hear that from the shepherds was Mary and Joseph themselves. Verse 16, "They came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they seen it, they made known abroad." They started telling all the things that were told them concerning this child. And the first people they told it to was Mary and Joseph. What the angels told them is found in verse 10 and 11. "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour." This is what the angel said to the shepherds. And this is what the shepherds repeated to Mary and Joseph when they came to see the infant Jesus. They repeated these things that they'd heard concerning him. Now notice what the shepherds were told, and what they then repeated confirms what we've already come to learn about Jesus. Like Elizabeth, they also agree with her and bear witness to the fact that Jesus is the Lord. Okay? He is the Saviour, Christ the Lord. They acknowledge, along with Elizabeth, he is the Lord. And also like Simeon, who we'll look at next week, they also agree with him. They bear witness to the fact that Jesus is the Christ. He is Christ the Lord. But today we're going to focus on the distinctive testimony of the shepherds who repeat the words of the angel that Jesus is the Saviour. Jesus is the Saviour. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour. So let's begin here. Firstly, we see the angels announcing the Saviour. And they announce three things about this marvellous Saviour, whom we acknowledge and celebrate this time of year at Christmas. Firstly, they announce that his birth is good news. Verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. Literally, I bring good tidings to you. And the words in English, I bring good tidings, four words in English, one word in Greek, euangelizo, means I proclaim good news. I proclaim good news to you. And this word, euangelizo, is used 52 times in the New Testament, 19 times it's translated gospel. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. Fear not, for behold, I bring the gospel, good news to you. Good news. C.H. Spurgeon told a story which comes from the north of England in the 19th century. There was a pastor who called on a woman from his congregation, and she was very, very poor, and he had gone to visit her and to take some money from the church fund which they had accumulated to help people in particular need. And so this pastor stood at the door of the woman's house with money in his hand, and he knocked, but there was no answer. He knocked again, still no answer. And so he just assumed the woman wasn't home, and so he went on his way. But the following Sunday, the pastor was there in church, and he saw the woman during the church service. And after the service, he told her that during the week he had visited her house with a gift for her to help her. He said that he'd knocked on the door several times, but received no answer. When did you call? The lady asked. He says, well, it was Thursday at noon. The woman was embarrassed. She says, I was at home and I did hear you knock, but I was afraid to answer because I thought it was the man calling for the rent. And there are many people who are just like that, who will not respond to Jesus Christ because they are convinced he's like that man calling for the rent. And what he's doing is he's coming to you with a demand. He's coming to make demands upon you and to demand something from you that you know you just don't have. And their whole idea of Christianity is basically that Christianity is something that's going to be dumped on you. Demands being placed upon you. You're going to be told there are things that you need to do, and they know that you just can't do these things. You can't be this way. And people feel that Christ is going to lay upon them a whole list of demands, and therefore when Christ comes knocking at the door, they just don't respond. But this is what I want you to understand today. This is what I want you to understand about Jesus Christ. He's not someone who comes demanding the rent. He's someone who comes to pay the bill. And there's all the difference in the world. Jesus comes to pay what we owe to God. He comes to give us what we need and what we don't have. And this is the reason why we should respond very positively to the coming of Christ. Or as Christ draws near to us today, why you should respond very, very positively towards him and receive him, John chapter 1 says. He comes as a Saviour. This is what the word means. This is why John says in his gospel, God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is good news. And this is the very first thing that the angel said. And when you see this, when you see the coming of Christ like this, indeed, it's good news, then there should be an altogether different response from your own heart as the Lord Jesus draws near to you even today. Jesus is good news. But then the angel also announced that the coming of Jesus brings great joy. Verse 10, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The birth of the Saviour is good news of great joy because it is a Saviour which is exactly what we need. It is exactly a Saviour that we need. You see, if you were in the position by having the means to pay what you owe to God, then you wouldn't sense your need of a Saviour at all. If you had lived the life that God calls you to live, you might be able to say, well, you know, I'm not interested in any charity. A Saviour might be good for people who've messed up and people don't have the means to bail themselves out. I'd rather stand on my own two feet before God. But here's the truth, and this is the truth to which all the Bibles bear witness. You and I are in the exact same position as that woman in Spurgeon's story. We owe a debt to God. We owe a debt to God to live the life that He's called us to live. We haven't done it. Indeed, we cannot do it. And we have no means to pay. When the angel appeared to the shepherds, we're told, there's a remarkable phrase there, verse 9, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The glory of the Lord. And what that means is that the manifest presence of Almighty God drew near and in some way seemed to surround them. And what does it say was their response as the presence of Almighty God was manifested all around about them? Notice it doesn't say they lifted up their faces and just basked in the glory of God. It doesn't say that. It says in verse 9, when the glory of the Lord shone round about them, they were sore afraid. They were in great fear. Why were they afraid? Because they knew the Bible. They knew that if a fallen human person comes face to face with God, such a person would drop dead on the spot. No man can see God and live. So there's the problem. There's the problem. We live in this world. One day is coming when we're going to go out in the next world and we're going to stand face to face in the presence of God. And the Bible tells us it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And friends, this is exactly why we need a Saviour. And this is exactly why the coming of Jesus is good news. Because when we understand how much we need Him, how we understand how we cannot stand in the presence of a glorious God, a holy God, and survive, except a Saviour be provided for us, when we understand this, we'll understand that this is good news for us. And as a matter of fact, this is the cause of our greatest joy. The third thing that the angels announce about Jesus is that He is for all people. Verse 10, I bring you good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. The coming of Jesus is good news for all people. And surely this is the significance of both the shepherds and the wise men being drawn by God the Father to this child Jesus, because Jesus is the Saviour for all people. The shepherds were at the bottom of the pile, socially speaking. They were despised people. They were regarded with distrust. And they were even banned from giving evidence in court. Their testimony would not be admissible in a court of law. In the ancient world, if you heard a story told to you by your friend, and you said to your friend, well, where did you hear that? And they said, well, a shepherd told me. Then you would just dismiss it out of hand. Such a testimony is not worth receiving. And so God comes to people who are at the bottom of the social pile of the day, people who are not given the time of day, people who are not respected, who are not trusted by others, and God says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour. And we're probably not surprised that such people would need a Saviour. They certainly needed saving. But think about this. If the shepherds were at the bottom of the social pile, then the wise men would certainly be at the top. The wise men were people of great learning. We would say that today they were people with multiple degrees, brilliant academics, successful people, highly regarded, people who had, through their giftedness, become very, very prosperous, people who had the financial means to bring gifts of gold. There's not many people in the world that can do that. And yet for all of their learning and for all of their wealth and for all the regard that was for them, they also needed a Saviour, as much as the shepherds. The birth of the Saviour is good news of great joy because it's for all people. The entire spectrum of society is represented in the first Christmas. According to the culture of the day, the shepherds are at the bottom of the pile. Wise men would have been at the top. Both are mentioned. Why? It's because no matter who you are, where you fit on the social spectrum, 1 Timothy 4 verse 10 tells us that Jesus is the Saviour of all men. Every single person. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you do. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, God so loved the world that anyone, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so the angels announce the shepherd, announce the Saviour. And it's good news. It's good news that brings great joy. It's for all people, whoever you are. It's for you. Nobody is outside the range of people for whom the Saviour came. All have sinned, all need a Saviour. Jesus is the Saviour that we all need. Second thing I want you to notice today is shepherds proclaiming the Saviour. The angels announced the Saviour. The shepherds then went and proclaimed the Saviour. See this verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Okay, think about that phrase, made known unto us. The Lord has made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So here we see these two parallel events. The Lord made known unto the shepherds, and now the shepherds make known unto others the things that the Lord had told them. So here we see the shepherds going forth and proclaiming the Saviour, which was announced to them. And what a wonderful picture this is of the mission that God gives to the church. We are to make known to others what God has made known to us in the scriptures concerning his son Jesus Christ. This is exactly what the way that the Apostle Paul says, for I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. What the Lord delivered to me, what the Lord revealed to me about his son is exactly what I gave to you. You received it. The Lord gave it to me, I just passed it on to you. It's exactly the same thing here. We who have been transformed by the gospel are to go out and share the transforming message of the gospel with other people. We are to bear witness along with Elizabeth that this Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth. We are also to bear witness along with the shepherds that Jesus is the Saviour of all men, from the least to the greatest without exception. And by the way, how extraordinary that God should choose shepherds to be the first proclaimers of the gospel message. Here we have people whose word of testimony would not be admissible in a court of law. And yet the Lord says, I'm going to use you to be the people first entrusted with sharing the message of the gospel. Now, if you just take hold of that, and for any person who's thinking, you know, I don't have what it takes to be useful to Jesus. No one would ever listen to me. I haven't been given any influence. I haven't been given any significant gift whereby people would listen to me. Don't ever say that you can't be useful to God. Don't ever say that no one would listen to me. Don't ever say that God would never entrust such a message to me. God would never use me with such a message. God entrusted this message first and foremost to unworthy shepherds. And this is why the Apostle Paul in the New Testament says that God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. It's got nothing to do with the greatness of the messenger. It's all about the greatness of the message. So for someone who thinks that God couldn't use you, God chose shepherds to be the first announcers of what God revealed concerning his son. And God could use shepherds. He could certainly use you. Just tell them what the Lord has told you. Just give them what the Lord has given you. Let's not forget that along with all of that, God drew wise men also to the Saviour. God brings people from every experience of life to Jesus and then sends them out. And it's true that God has blessed some of you with a measure of success, indeed great success. God has given you a brilliant mind in your particular sphere. And through this, God has lifted you and promoted you and prospered you and given you all of these blessings that are not entrusted to others. Why has God done this? Why have you been brought to this position? Why have God given you these gifts and entrusted you with these gifts? Why has this wealth been entrusted to you? Well, it's for this reason. God has made known his Son to you so that you should deploy all that you are, all that you have, every sphere of influence, every person in your sphere of influence, everything you have, it gets out to those people, and everything you have is to be used and utilized in the getting forth of the message of the gospel. God loves wise men just like he loves shepherds. God will use wise men just like he'll use shepherds. God wants the gospel message proclaimed to every sphere of life. There are people in the higher echelons that shepherds will never get to. They'll never be able to shepherds will never be able to speak to those, but there are other people up there who know the Lord who can speak in those spheres. And if God has made his Son known to you, then it's your calling to make God's Son known to others. There are people in your circle of influence. God has placed you there. People that you can reach with the gospel that can't be reached by the person next to you, beside you, in front of you. There are people that you speak to that would never listen to me. I don't know who they are. But God wants the good news of his Son to go far and wide. He's come for all people. And the mission of the church is to impact all people. And the only way that's going to be done is by each one of us getting the message out to the mission field that God has called us to, the circles in which we move. The question is, do I deploy where I am, what I do, what I have, what God has entrusted to me? Do I deploy all of these things so that what God has revealed to me in respect to his Son, I might communicate that with others? Again, it's a beautiful picture of the Great Commission, the calling that God has given to the whole church. We see the angels announcing the Saviour. We see the shepherds proclaiming the Saviour. We see the people responding to the Saviour. There are three words in verses 18 to 20 which describe how some people responded to the good news of the birth of the Saviour. And actually, they're all good responses. And I hope that all three of them will be true of you. First of all, the first response we notice is that of wondering, verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, this is a great place to begin. Picture the shepherds, you know, telling everyone in Bethlehem and going to Jerusalem, telling everyone in Jerusalem. People, you know, as they interact with them in their business and in their travels, in their work, they're speaking, they're proclaiming everything they've heard about the Saviour. No doubt the people that they spoke with were people, you know, just, you know, rushing through their relentless lives, just like people do now. But here are the shepherds. And they say to everyone, the Saviour's been born, a Saviour's been born. And when many people heard that, we're told very simply that they wondered. People started thinking about that. They wondered. The shepherds are telling us that a Saviour's been born. They say that this announcement's come from heaven. What if that's really true? What if the God of heaven has come to earth? Could it be that God is actually reaching out in love and mercy towards me? They wondered, they thought. Could it be? Could it be? And if what they are saying is true, then this would be the greatest thing that's ever happened in the world. And today, if you're a visitor here in church or you're not very familiar with Christianity, I hope you'll begin here. I hope you'll start here. Here, being among people who are telling you about the good news and great joy that we say is for you to share in. Could it be? What if all this is actually true? What if this announcement from heaven is true? This is absolutely amazing. If it's true, a Saviour for mankind has come. Wonder, is where you begin. But you don't stop there. You know, some people probably spend their whole lives wondering, but they never make any progress. And that's why the next word I think is so important. Verse 19 mentions the word pondering. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary pondered all of these things. Of course she did. She couldn't just, you know, hear these things and then just forget about them. She pondered them. She stored them all up. Everything that was being revealed about Jesus, she's storing up and thinking over these things. Now, I've tried to picture and how beautiful it must be of the shepherds bearing witness to Jesus, of all that they'd seen, all that they'd heard, and what that must have meant to Mary as she's there with this newborn child. The shepherds come to the manger. They say to Mary, "Angels appeared to us. The glory of the Lord shone round about us," and we were absolutely terrified. But he said, "Fear not." And he said, "Today, in the city of David, a Saviour is born. Christ the Lord, a Saviour is born." And Mary pondered all of these things. She kept them. She treasured them. Literally, she put them all together. That's what the word means. She put them all together in her heart. She added up what was being said by the angel Gabriel, and then by Elizabeth, and now by the shepherds. Gabriel said the child would be called the Son of God. Elizabeth, speaking by the Holy Spirit, said he's the Lord. And now the shepherds report that he's the Saviour. And Mary put all these things together. She adds them all up. This child there in the manger, she looks at him, Son of God, Lord, Saviour. One testimony added to another, each one confirming the other and expanding upon what is previously revealed. Mary pondered all of these things in her heart. She stored it all up. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord. He's the Saviour. People ponder those things. Trace out the implications. What would it mean if this Jesus is your Lord? What would it mean if this Jesus is your Saviour? This is how faith is born. This is how faith is nurtured. You ponder, you put it all together, you trace out the implications of all that you know about Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This is how faith grows, by the revelation of God's truth. This is how it's nurtured as we meditate upon these things. This is what it would look for you right now if you would settle these things in your, ponder these things in your own mind. If I have a Saviour, that means that I have hope. It means that my failing sins is not the end for me. It means there is forgiveness for me. There's rescue for me. It means there is hope for me. I have a Saviour. There is hope. Right now, in Christ, I have hope because I have a Saviour. And then as you continue to ponder these things, you put them together. If I have a Lord, if Jesus is the Lord, if I have a Lord, then I'm not free to live my life my own way. It means I'm not free to fritter away my life doing anything that I please. I can't say these teenage years are my years, I'm going to spend them doing my own thing. No, I have a Lord. No period of my life am I free to section off as belonging to me and then something else I'll give to him. I have a Lord. And therefore, he has a purpose for my life. There's a reason why he placed me upon the earth. I'm accountable to him to fulfill it. There is purpose for me in Jesus Christ. If I have a Lord, there is a purpose. There is hope because I have a Saviour. There is purpose because I have a Lord. I wonder if you've come to these conclusions, have you pondered these things, put them all together, the truth about Jesus Christ, traced out the implications for your own life. So there's wondering, that's where it begins. There's pondering, that's how it grows. And then the last response is praising. Of course, that's where it ends. That's where it leads, praising, verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. They'd seen the glory of God and not been consumed by it. They'd heard about the Saviour. That's the reason why they weren't consumed about it, because the Saviour's been provided. And now what are they doing? They're praising God. They're glorifying God. Think about this. That night began with lost sinners fearing God, and it ended with saved sinners praising God. Remarkable transformation. Why did it happen? Because the Saviour has been born into the world. And that's good news. Great joy for all people. Wondering, pondering, praising. And may they be the responses of every single person who is here today who contemplates the coming of the Saviour into the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the narrative of Scripture. It's not just a story to be told, but it's a revelation of God. It's not just about historical events. It's the opening up to us of a wonderful plan. Begun in eternity past with implications through into eternity future. Concerning sinful man and your plan to save us. Father, we thank you for sending your Son to be the Saviour of the world. And Father, we thank you that for those people who wondered about such things, who pondered these things, who beginning to understand these things gave you praise and thanksgiving. And Lord, pray that we, everyone here today, would be like that. Less like the person that we walked into this building being, but different, transformed, impacted significantly, deeply in our hearts. Lord, help us to be people of wonder, people of who ponder deeply such things. Lord, help us to be people who praise you, who glorify you upon the earth. Lord, may the gospel message ever be before our eyes, so frequently coming from our lips. May we be like those who couldn't but speak the things that they'd seen and heard. Lord, give us great joy in announcing the Saviour at this time of year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.